This is a KUNV Studios original program.
You're listening to special programming sponsored by Making Moves Life Coaching Services. The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. I'm Dave Washington, your host. I'm going to make a few statements, and I'm going to bring in two guests that we have today that will be actually setting in for me for a couple of shows each next month as I go through some medical issues that I've mentioned to you all several times. Once again, this is Women's History Month, and I think that we all need to be acknowledging the women in our lives, as well as others who have done things to help our country grow. Also, I want to always remind people that they can get a hold of our Assistant State Service Officer, Tony Marshall, at 301-537-9465 if you're seeking to find out how to get your benefit packages together. And Tony only operates by scheduling. You have to have and actually schedule program with him to discuss whatever it is you may have. You can't just drop in. And he comes over to American Legion Post 10 over at Doolittle and 8th Street. Also, he has another. There's a service center out in North Las Vegas. He has an office out there. Nice office. In fact, I've been trying to get the leader or the manager of that program to come on to include a young brother from the Salvation Army. What they do, and I know, Grady, you have done some work in this area, but they also try to get veterans housed that may be on the street. So, and he's housed in that same building way north in North Las Vegas. And it's, again, called the Veterans Community Service Center. Also, there's a Veterans Family Resource Fair that's going to occur 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on March 30th at 390 East Centennial Parkway. So check those things out. I'm sure you can find it online. I don't have an actual website, but those are the time frames and the date that you can go down to that program, particularly set up for veterans. As I mentioned, I've asked Gene and Grady to sit in with me today. So we're just going to have some general discussion about veterans and veterans affairs. And again, this show is called Veterans Affairs Plus, the plus side. And I'm going to say to these guys on air, because everybody's busy, as far as guests, I'll try to get a schedule at a good time for you and your guests. You guys pick your own guests. I don't want to send somebody here and you're like, why are you sending that person to me? No, you pick your own guests. And one thing I always try to let people know, I'm not a journalist. I'm not trying to be a journalist. I am a talk show host. And what I do in that vein is I send people possible questions that will be asked just to stimulate thought. But as far as trying to trick you and play games, I don't have time for that. That's what journalists do. And not all journalists do that, but I've been around them and I've seen some of the tricks that they play on people. And they try to get you in a corner, but I ain't about that. So I want to explain real quickly how I got here. In fact, it was actually through Grady and the guys at American Legion Post 10. I was subbing as an intern for, at the time, Commissioner Lawrence Weekly, and also the sister Patricia Cunningham. They both have two different, totally different styles on how they deal with their radio shows. But they both asked me to sub, and Grady and his guys heard me on the radio, according to them, and say, man, we're gonna do our own show. And we want you to co-host. At the time, Grady, as you know, you were the commander of American Legion Post 10. So I just felt like a little bit of payback. I just believe what you share. And you guys brought me in through you. So I'm going to share some of the wealth because this is a program that I take care of from a financial standpoint. And I don't want, and I know Wes has the capability, and he's had to do it for me a couple of times. He can play repeat shows, but I'm like, no, man, I want to have some fresh things and thoughts on the show. So what I will do is I'll get with you guys and try to look at what's on the calendar, set those times, and then we'll go. And then you make contact with your guests. And you'll find that sometimes, man, you have to swing in the middle of the swing to get it going. And there's been a couple of times where I've been sitting here by myself, but, you know, you learn to roll with it. So with that, Brother Grady Hayes, please tell us, our listening audience, what branch of military did you serve and how long?
Well, there's only one true branch. That was the U.S. Army.
I'm with you.
A Vietnam era veteran. So definitely 95 Bravo Military Police.
You and Gene got that in common.
Right. Well, you know, that was a rude awakening during that period of time, as I know you know, and a lot of people out there know, that the Vietnam veterans were so unappreciated when we got back that that it was a true love to serve for us to do that kind of a and be in that role during that time period.
Mm-hmm. So as far as commander with the post, I know you initiated a number of things to include getting some grants from various businesses throughout the community that really helped to stimulate not growth, but I'd say upgrading the building, if you will.
Well, we Home Depot was very instrumental in helping us during that period of time. They've allocated a certain amount of their revenue to support nonprofits, and especially veteran 501c3s, and they were very instrumental in getting our kitchen and some of our supplies together at American Legion Post 10.
You know, something else you and I have had several discussions about, and just can't, I don't know if you've gotten any traction, but I continue to bring it up, and that is the small houses. I've seen a couple of them go up in the community, but they would certainly help to get a few people off the streets. Thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we talked about it, and you were so instrumental in trying to get this thing going for us a few years ago. I was able to get a few houses built like that, the Boxable Homes, down in the lower ninth ward of Louisiana, of New Orleans.
Okay.
They donated some land to us down there. And we remember we tried to do the same thing, and I know we will continue to try to get the city of Las Vegas to participate in that and try to get some of those homeless veterans off the street and put in those Boxable Homes.
Absolutely.
How are they working out down there, Grady?
Real good. And it really worked because if you're familiar with the lower ninth ward, it's still suffering from the from Katrina. You know, it hasn't recovered. And we were able to take a lot of the abandoned properties there and refurbish them and put those homes down there and provide housing for some of the veterans. And also to as a beta test down there, the city saw that, and they're going to try to hopefully expand and not only do housing for veterans, but provide first-time buyer homes for a lot of the low-income people. So it's growing now, and I just hope we can do the same thing in the historic West Side and Las Vegas in general.
So you say we. Who is we that's doing that down in New Orleans?
Well, it's the National Veterans Housing Alliance that I'm the COO of, and we were able to get traction down there working with a lot of the other local nonprofits, most of the veteran organizations down there.
Okay. So you say you're the COO?
COO. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the grunt. You know, I get to do the grunt work.
Yeah, well, you're out there operating, making it happen, man. That's the most important thing. And the other thing that you and I had a meeting with folks downtown at City Hall was trying to get that telemedicine. They thought we was crazy. Like, what are y'all talking about? They wouldn't take the bite, man. And I ain't calling no names, but would not take the bite. And then 3 months later, everything's blowing up on telemedicine. I'm like, that's what Grady brought to me, and we took it downtown, and nobody would listen. But, you know, water under the bridge, but you can't give up, you know, in spite of some roadblocks that you get from people. When you know it's something good, you just keep trucking and tracking. And hopefully, God willing, as they say, in the creek don't rise. Gene and I, we're down in New Orleans for a week every year. I want to get by and see some of those, the project that you had. So we'll make sure we make contact and get an address because I want to see
June 2nd through June 8th this year. So, Grady, if you're down there, we're going to set it up on the probably on the back end maybe to see them.
Okay.
But we're going to set up
a
time.
All right, because I'll be there for Jazz Fest. So what I'll do, I'll just stay a little bit longer.
That
It'll
works.
Be my pleasure.
Thank you, Grady.
My pleasure. Well, you know, I want to give kudos while I have the opportunity to Brother Washington, because, you know, he is like a rock. Where a lot of people kind of fall off, he's constant, steady. He's been there. He's been working with the programs. He's been working with the area, working with the people. He's been very diligent and patient, especially with me, and I appreciate that, in working and trying to get some of the programs and getting some of the projects that we talked about implemented. And like I said, it hasn't been easy. I know he's been through a lot. And I just want to say thank you, because for everything you've done, everything you've been to the historic west side of Las Vegas and to the city in general.
I appreciate that.
Grady, I want to bring up something that, and I'm wondering if, Dave, you can think of it. We've all, you and Grady came along about the same time in the military. I'm at a different era. I'm before Desert Storm and those eras. I was like one of those tweener stages in the military. I was in Air Force, Grady, so don't pick on me. And I, too, was a police officer, security police officer there in the military. But what I see is there's challenges for different eras. There's some common challenges that all veterans have, but different eras have different challenges. And given that you have a operational background in working with veteran service organizations, what do you think the biggest challenge is now to the different groups or different factions of the military? So let's just say Vietnam era, let's just say maybe Desert Storm, you know, those kind of eras, and then you come on up into the Gulf War or whatever. What do you see the different challenges are for them, and what do you think we need to be trying to help with veterans? You talked a little bit about housing, but there's quite a few other things.
Well, a lot of it, and I'm speaking for myself, not Dave on this one, but I think it's generational. When Dave and I came through, it was right during the Civil Rights Movement. So we got some of the tail end of the Civil Rights, where I went in and I suffered, and being from Southern California, I hadn't had experience of dealing with a lot of the prejudice that a lot of people from the South initially had. And it was a rude awakening, the prejudices that still lingered in the military during that period of time. But like I said, the biggest problem I think that's addressing veterans now is suicide rate. I mean, it's 21% among veterans during this time, which is just outrageous. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And I think that that even though the homeless problem with the Vietnam veteran is that era, the era now with the recently separated veterans, the suicide, and we have to really address that and get the politicians to put more emphasis on that and try to eliminate that, or at least reduce that.
Well, I'll echo your sentiments, because I think, too, particularly as it relates to suicide of veterans, it's alarming numbers, and I think that more can be done and should be done. I've said it when I was working, and I continue to say that America should do better in regards to looking out for the interests of our veterans, because, and I feel the same way, and I've been arguing this point, which I haven't mentioned on the last couple of shows, but there was a law that was passed, and I was told 2019, and had to do with increasing the number of cancers that one could contrast, and their family would get a stipend.
In the fire service.
In the fire service. Right. And I call them the domestic warriors. Maybe they didn't go to war, you know, outside of this country, but that is still a warrior figure to me. I'm talking about firefighters now. And I think that, because we, in this business, we have high divorce rates, we have suicide, not to the level of the military, but I think all those have to be addressed, and they can only be addressed by us stirring the pot in people. I remember Ramadan saying to me the other day, he said, man, you just don't quit. Because I told him, I said, man, we got to fight this stuff, man. Laws are passed, but laws can be changed, and they can only be changed by the pressure of the people. And I'm saying that that 2019 law, it's a good law, but it didn't go retroactive. So all those colleagues that we know in the fire service, Gene and I in particular, their family don't get anything because they didn't retro it. But yet we can keep printing money. We send money here, we send money there. to these other countries, yet we will not take it. And I still believe that if people start getting fired up about this, change will come.
Right.
Change will come.
Right.
We was watching TV this morning. Marsha, why are they sending money to Haiti? I said, well, they done dogged Haiti for so many years. I think it's a little bit of guilt. But they're sending money down there, and they're showing the printing press. I say, back when I was growing up, we used to talk about Fort Knox.
Had to be backed by gold.
Backed by gold. America's money is not backed up by anything but more paper.
No.
And that's unfortunate.
Right.
But no, I'm with you on the suicide thing, and we've got to do a better job. And I think the job comes from those of us who are aware of the statistics and start speaking out about it, calling our congressional, local, state legislators and saying, hey, what can you do? How can we get some assistance? Because there's always funding. In fact, she called me yesterday, Senator Dean O'Neill. And she told me about some money that was coming down, like $30 million for local type businesses. I'm like, wow. Unfortunately, we shut our business down about 3 years ago because we went from a for-profit business to a nonprofit business. I'm talking about New Ventures Capital Development Corporation, where I was the chairman of the board. And my brother-in-law, Ernest, was the president and CEO. And you know what? SBA told us, you guys should go nonprofit and you'll be good. They ain't do nothing to help us. So we just said, well, it is what it is. But no, so anyway, Grady, I agree with you.
Well, you know, then just to go back a little bit, and we talked about this before in our previous show, that a lot of it has to start with mental illness and the negative stigma that's put on that, and no one wants to admit that. And first thing we have to address that a lot of the problems when it comes to suicide starts with mental illness or the challenges that come with PTSD and a lot of the effects from that thing. And we have to stand up and say, okay, there's a problem. We have to address it and let's solve it as opposed to denying it and running away from it. And that comes with just awareness. And I think that's where we start in our community is just being aware of the different stigma of mental illness and not looking at it as a negative, but as a positive thing to address it and to recognize it and to move forward to treat it.
Absolutely. Once again, this is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. I'm Dave Washington, your host. I'm sitting across the table from my colleague, Chief Eugene Campbell, and also on the line from the great state of Louisiana and my home state down there in New Orleans. Y'all just had that Mardi Gras, but we got a former commander of American Legion Post 10, Grady Hayes, on the line. So, again, this is Veterans Affairs Plus. Go ahead, Grady. What else you got for us?
Well, that's it. You know, and like I said, just the two of you have just been such an example to the young generation. And I think that's something else that we have talked about in the past. All these things we're talking about, we've talked about in the past. And trying to bring the youth along and show them there's other paths to success and awareness besides what they see with rapping or being a sports figure or being an entertainer or being, you know, a hustler.
Right.
There's fields that they can get into and be successful with, you know, and I think the path you two followed and the success you've had is a prime example to our youth of what they can do if they put in the effort and put the time into to pursue those ventures.
Great. And I can tell you, man, not only black kids but white kids as well, they are going absolutely nuts, man. What do they call them things, Angel? That they just go in a store and just start taking stuff. I'm like, what? I mean, it's not pointing directly at one particular race. They all doing it. They just going in.
Basically, going in the store and they smash and grab. And they do it by either texting a bunch of people.
Right.
This is like a mob, and everybody just comes in. They showed one other day at an area, that so-called prominent area of town here, where a guy just walked into the Apple store, had some little hoodie mask on, and just started snatching all the phones and the computers up. Folks was looking at him. I didn't know if they had security there or not. I think they were just standing there looking at it, too. The person was so calm, got all their stuff, went outside and got in their car and took off. It's like they were shopping.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, but you know, Grady, the one reason why I've kind of brought that up and asked you about different eras, because I think in my era, and I've noticed difference in the branches, I think the Navy does a really good job just by my exposure on making their veterans know as they're getting out to make sure they have the proper physicals, as well as make sure they document and keep documents in their records. And as a young Air Force guy coming out, I had one Chief Master Sergeant that kind of told me a few things. He was a senior enlisted officer as I was getting ready to come out, but it hadn't been something that had been done. And so when I see a lot of people that I know, they're not aware of the benefits. They're not aware of you know, when they had certain injuries in the military that they had documented, that and they're having problems with health care or having problems now, that they have partial or maybe full benefits with the military that they're not even aware of. And I think for a lot of people that came along in the military when I was in there, especially if you were in the Air Force, that wasn't something that was shared, because I had three or four other friends. One of them, I've been known almost 40 years. We were in North Dakota together. And we didn't know to way after we were out of the service about some things that we could be eligible for, whereas people in the Navy were coming out with full packages. And so I think that all veterans, if you don't be ashamed not only of reaching out for those services, and one of those that you talked about was mental awareness as well as mental health, but also for all those other benefits of just being able to get a physical, maybe be able to get some support as it relates to head injuries. That's a lot of things that are also leading to PTSD and traumatic brain injuries, which we've had a lot doing with the roadside bombings and things, Grady.
Right, right. And your husband was correct. And that's why I want to give him, well, Dave already did it, but another shout out to Brother Tony Marshall, who has been really working diligently in trying to make a lot of the veterans aware of what's available for them. And he's done a magnificent job over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years that I've known. He's been out there, and we just need more of that. You're right. Awareness is the problem. We have a lack of knowledge and what's available to us, and we've got to put that information out there. And all these people that go around telling them, well, they love the troops, well, you know, that's great. Lip service is great, but we want the politicians and the people to put that in action, you know, put some D's to the words. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, if you love the veterans so much, you know, show us, you know, provide the services to them, give them the opportunities, give them the information they need, you know, give them the services where they can address a lot of these problems that a lot of these veterans have when they get out. But let's not forget, and you know, my pet peeve is Vietnam era veterans. You know, the guys that went to Vietnam, majority of these homeless veterans are Vietnam veterans, because they were treated so badly when they got out, and none of the services were provided for them. Another, like you said, the information was not provided to them, and what happened now, they've got so caught up in their lifestyle now, it's tough to make a change. It's been 30, 40 years, you know, of them doing the same thing. So we cannot forget them. We got to get back and reach back and try to help them also, as we're helping the recently separated veterans.
Dave, I know we got to go. I just want to let everybody know that Tony Marshall is having something on March the 19th. You can reach out to him at M18359. That's rm18359@gmail.com. And he has a time every third Tuesday, beginning at 11 a.m., and you can reach out to him with that email address.
Excellent. Well, appreciate it.
Right.
Well, we got about 6 more minutes, so we got time to get into some further discussion, but it's great what you're doing down in New Orleans. And some kind of way, Grady, we must break that top, or whatever you want to call it, that they're avoiding for whatever reason. I know that there's land available, and there's got to be a push made to ensure that we can get some of these veterans off the street through these small houses, if you will. I think we just have to put together a targeted process to get people to at least listen.
And not just not help the homeless, but we can help a lot of these veterans get into the first home.
Yes.
You know, because the VA will finance these 100%. So not only is it just we just want to house homeless people, we want to provide the beginning of the generational wealth with these new veterans just getting out and help them get that first home. You know, this is the way to do it. It's inexpensive. It's a way to get that foothold and start building that generational wealth that we all talk about and we all think is available to everyone, but is not provided for a lot of these young veterans first getting out of the service right now.
Especially with the way the market has changed, too. So I really agree with that, Tony. It's a good point.
Yeah, you know, we had a week before last, we had Tim Haskins. He is a realtor, and he talked about some of the programs dealing with VA and VA benefits. Because, see, I had benefits, had a fourplex down on Jackson Street, decided to give it up, got foreclosed on, but I paid my money back. And you know what? He said, your rights should still be there. He said, if you were,
it is.
And he said, and this I didn't realize, but he said that, as you mentioned, Grady, they will do 100%. And if you have those benefits and you use portions or what have you, there's still things and dollars available. You just have to pursue them. And that was from Mr. Haskin. And he specializes in trying to get veterans placed in homes. And he's been here in Vegas for, I think he told me, about 10 years. But I will share his number again next week, because in another month, I'd say, because I don't have it with me. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I do. Anyway, this brother, he is a good man, and he's looking out for the interest. He is Tim Haskin, branch manager, Premier Mortgage Resources, 661-992-7005. And he is a specialist on helping veterans get their veterans benefit as it relates to housing and whatever it is they're trying to buy. So I'm glad you brought that up.
And I think we need more of that. We need to set up a referral network or a networking service for veterans where all this information is available to them for different services and programs that are out there that they may not be aware of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brady, I hope you have great travels down where you are, and any passing words you'd like to share with our audience before we sign off today?
Well, no, just, I think, like I said, all honor and respect to you, Brother Washington, for everything you've done, and my prayers are always there for you and your family and for everyone out there that prayers will help, because that always works. I think faith is always the strength and bedrock to our community, and we can never give that up.
I agree 100%. Gene?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank David for taking that challenge on, Grady, when you gave it to him. David's that kind of guy. And after, I don't know, 30, let me see, my youngest boy is 33, almost 35 years hanging with Dave. He definitely is focused, motivated on helping and serving others. So I just pray that the Lord find a way to touch his heart and touch his body so he can be right back here on the air sharing what our veterans need to know, what our community needs to know.
Great, Gene.
He will be.
Great. Yeah. I appreciate that, and continued prayers from everyone, to include family. And I'll get with you guys offline and take a look at the calendar and see what days best fit you, because they go fast. And once we get locked in, if there's a need to cancel, there's a way to cancel it. And Brother Wes will be there. As you know, he makes you feel comfortable when you come into the studio, and he makes it work. So, Wes, we appreciate you, young man.
Wes, we do.
So, once again, you're going to see Chief Eugene Campbell, former commander of American Legion Post 10, Grady Hayes. They'll be coming in to see you, and I know they're going to do a good job. And, again, they are going to get their own guests. I'm not going to send somebody here for them. I let them get their own guests. So, once again, gentlemen, appreciate you guys. This is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. Again, we had Chief Gene Campbell, and we had the former commander of American Legion Post 10, Mr. Grady Hayes, doing great work down in New Orleans. We got to get some of that work done here in Las Vegas as well. Take care, Grady. Be safe.
Same to you.